I am honored to be in here and to share with you tonight. It's not often that I get to be in on a Sunday evening service, and typically with the small group ministries that are going on in the Fusion Center and across Springfield. And so every chance I get to be over here, though, I just love, like Pastor Mike said, just feeling that unity of people just praying and seeking after God. It's incredible. And so honored to be over here. And tonight what we're going to talk about is a sermon that in your bulletins, it says we're talking about endurance, which is a part of it, and kind of more titled, I've called this Fight Less and Surrender More. And so we'll kind of get into that a little bit more, but I want to give you a little bit of a picture of where I'm at. And first off, I have to just confess something to you. Are you ready for this? This is a big deal for me, so let me just prepare myself. In September, I turned 25. And it was a very big milestone for me. Now, I know some of you have been there and done that, and you're saying, no big deal, get over it. But I am telling you, a couple months leading up to it, it was like I was begging my friends, please, can we just act like I'm still 24? Like, if you play along with it, no one will know, right? I was like, who knows how old I actually am? So, and they didn't buy into it. They were like, no way, we're telling everyone that you're 25. Especially Pastor Kyle thought that it was like his mission to tell everyone that I'm officially 25, because he knew I was having a life crisis about it. But so that's my confession. I'm now willing to tell everybody that I am 25. I feel like I'm mid-20s now. I'm all grown up, even though when you see me with the students, I don't act like it. And I still was walking into a high school over here, Central High School, just the other day, and or a few weeks ago. And the principal actually asked me where my pass was. And I was like, well, that kind of feels good, thank you. But I was like, I'm just stopping in for an assembly. I say that to say this, that we're all at different points along our journey. And whether you're 25 and afraid to admit it, or maybe you're 50 and afraid to admit it, or further down the line and proud to admit that you've made it this far, we all come along our journey. And the thing that I want to talk about tonight is the endurance of making it through the journey. And making it along the way. See, what I think that we should talk about more as Christians is not just how to get into the kingdom of God and the family of God, but truly how to live it for our whole life and how to make it all the way through our life, living a consistent Christian walk with God. Too often we get burnout. Too often we walk away because of some crisis experience in our life. Too often people get hurt and feel rejected. And so I believe as us as Christians, the more that we can do to prepare ourselves to walk this Christian walk for our whole life, the better off we're all going to be. And I love being a part of a church that is built like Central Assembly, where we have across the board generations that we can learn from and glean from. And I think that that is so valuable. And I love having a church that embraces that. And because I feel like I've grown so much just in the time that I've been here. And a lot of that is through learning and listening to other people that are further along in the journey that I am. But tonight, the one key thing that I want to focus on, and I think there's lots of things that you could say that add up to living a life of endurance and a consistent, steady walk with Christ. But the one key point that I want to talk about tonight is this idea of fight less and surrender more. Because in our lives, it's too easy in this society, in this culture, to constantly be fighting our own battles. It's too easy for us when we're doing that to get burnt out and to feel exhausted and to feel like we need to give up, to feel like we're constantly losing battles. And I don't know about you, but me, I'm wired to be the type A personality that if I'm going to go after something, I'm going after it with everything that I am. I'm the person that for every, you know, event or program or something that I'm passionate about, I'm creating checklists and I'm putting all of my energy and effort into getting those done. I'm staying up too many hours of the night just to finish them. And I just feel like sometimes I'm just keep hitting these walls because I'm just fighting and fighting and fighting too hard. And it's not that God doesn't want us to fight and to push through, but we have to learn to do it in the right way. And so tonight I want us to look at a story in Joshua. We'll start right up front with the first chapter of Joshua. So if you want to turn there with me, we're going to start there. And then we're going to look at kind of chapters 6 and 7 later on. But we're going to start just by doing the introduction to the book of Joshua. And it says this. In the very beginning, just to give us some background, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all of these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. And then down in verse 5, it says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. I love, sometimes when I'm in a season of my life that has transition, that wonderful word that we just have heard way too often. But when I'm in seasons of my life that's a season of transition, I love coming back to this. Because for the Israelites, truly, they were in a season of transition of leadership and Moses had died, and now Joshua was ready to take over, and yet God's promises still continue for them. Isn't that wonderful? God still reminds them, I will give you the promised land just as I told Moses. Just because they have a transition of leadership doesn't mean that God's promises are taken away. No, we can apply that to our whole body as a congregation right now in this season of transition. But also in our own personal lives, God's promises are there and consistent in your life. No matter what transitions come around, no matter what season of life you're walking through, no matter what good or bad may have come against you, God's promises remain. And in this verse, the kind of quote that I want to pull out of it that it just catches my heart every time I read it is where God says, I will give you every place where you set your foot. Oh, that's so incredible. See, now my, like, imaginary used to be younger than 25 mind says, that means, like, I could go to Starbucks, and if I get there and I put my foot there, God's going to give me Starbucks. No, it's not really how it works. Or if I want to, like, live in the White House, if I go there and believe in confidence, like, no, that's not probably how it works either, huh? Too bad, because those would be pretty great places to live. But God says, now that I'm older and wiser, because I'm telling you, I'm 25 now. It's like a whole nother world. Maybe. All of you are just laughing at me, aren't you? Someday she'll get to 30. Someday she'll hit 40. Ooh, someday, 50, 60. Here it comes. But God says, so it just hit me with 70. Whoa, I can't get there yet. God says, I will give you every place where you set your foot. The catch for the Israelites with this was that they were preparing to go into the promised land. And they were preparing they had to fight the people that were in the promised land. You see, just to give you even further history on this story, is that there were 7 nations that occupied that land. And so for them to officially take over the promised land, they had to defeat all 7 nations. And so it didn't just happen like they crossed the Jordan River and they stepped in there and they stood proudly and said, God's given us this land. But it took years of battles, years of fighting before they received the promised land, after they had already spent years wandering in the desert. Now, if you stop there, it can get kind of depressing. You know, you think God has this promise for us, but yet we have to work hard on it. And for the Israelites, it played out kind of like this. I want to share 2 different battle stories with you. And I believe that looking at these 2 different battle stories, we can really learn in our life the way that God intends for us to pursue his promised land. The way that God intends for us to get from point A in our life to living and enduring as a Christian all the way through the steps and the walks and the seasons of our life. So you look at these 2 battles. First is the Battle of Jericho. The Battle of Jericho went a little bit like this. So you have to forgive me because I am used to an audience of about 11 to 18. And so story format works really well. So you get my story. Okay, here we go. The Battle of Jericho looks like this. God says, hey, here's the plan. What you guys are going to do is you are going to go over to Jericho. You're going to march around it one time a day for 6 days. Good? Joshua says, good. Got it. Okay, they go over there. They march around it one time a day for 6 days. Then God says, on the seventh day, you are going to march around it 6 more times. And then you're going to blow those trumpets and you're going to scream. And then the walls are going to come crumbling down. Right? I mean, that's the story. The incredible thing is that they trusted God. They did it. And it worked. That's pretty good, right? Now, to put that in today, kind of so we can picture how actually crazy this had to have felt for Joshua and the Israelites that were following them. Let's just think about it like in a football game, okay? In a football game, let's just pretend that God is your coach. We are the team. Now, how crazy would it be if you played football like this? The coach says, we're going to win this game. All we have to do is go circle up around the other team, and let's do a little ring around the rosy, okay? So we all hold hands, we skip around a few times, singing our song, and when we say, they all come tumbling down, the team goes and falls down. Then you grab the ball and run it into the end zone. That's how we're going to play today. Sound good? I mean, that's crazy, right? But if you trust your coach, then you're going to do it anyway. The incredible thing with the Israelites is that they trusted their coach. And because they were willing to trust him and willing to do what he asked them to do, they were given the victory. And it was just as easy as placing their foot on that land. Just as easy as marching around these walls and then blowing their trumpets when they were supposed to blow their trumpets. It was that easy. So I look at seasons of my life and things that have happened in my life, and I think, really? Can it be that easy? When you're faced with battles of maybe it's cancer, maybe it's losing a job, maybe it's selling a house, maybe it's marital issues, maybe it's you're trying to get that teenage son of yours to straighten up. I don't know what it is. But I know that we all have times in our life where we look at these problems, we look at these battles, and we say, it's impossible. It's so easy for us in those seasons to just throw up our hands and say, God, I have no idea what to do. It is so easy for us in those seasons to get burnt out, to feel exhausted, to feel like we have nothing left to give, to feel like if God fails us one more time, what are we going to do? But yet God is standing there, and he's still holding on to his promise that he said to you, and he says, just place your foot where I tell you to place your foot. And it's that easy. Yet we try to push our own agenda and we try to fight for the things that we think are right. But how often, I ask you, are you stopping and listening to the Lord's direction, even if it sounds crazy? And then let's look at the second battle. The second battle is the battle of Ai. And this comes, seriously, this is what's crazy. This comes right after the Battle of Jericho. So they just had this incredible victory, this victory that was completely God-ordained. And then they go to this Battle of Ai, and actually what happens is Joshua sends out spies to check out this land. The spies come back, and they go, this would be a piece of cake. We got this. They're like, all we need is 2,000 or 3,000 men. Don't even send the whole army. We are all set. We'll just send 2,000 or 3,000 men, and we can take them out like that. So they get all like, oh, we got this under control, no problem. We don't need anything. And they send their 2,000 men up to the hill, and they get defeated like that. All of a sudden, they come running back, and the people of Israel are down and defeated. And actually says the hearts of the people sank, and all the spirit was knocked out of them. What changed? This is the army that defeated Jericho just by marching around their city. And then the next battle that they go to face, they are defeated in a second. So what changed? That's right. What changed is that they were not waiting for the direction of the Lord. They decided for themselves that they could do it. They decided for themselves that this was going to be easy. They decided what resources they needed and how they were going to play the game. And they forgot all about stopping and waiting and listening to the Lord. And that's the simple step that was missed. That's the simple step that sometimes we miss in our lives. So we face these battles, big or small, no matter what they be. It could be daily things that go on in your life. But daily, if you are not stopping and listening for the Lord, then you're missing the simpleness of his direction that he's laid out for you and the victory that could easily be yours. See, we come up against incredible things. I can't even imagine in this room how many things that you have faced over a lifetime or currently are facing right now, situations, circumstances, whatever it may be, things that have happened to you or things that you've caused. I can't imagine what this room is filled with, questions, maybe of prayers that have been unanswered, and yet God is just saying, it's so simply laid out for you. Stop and listen and seek God. And this is a reminder to myself, Sherry, in those times when you are just fighting like crazy, when you're coming up exhausted and with nothing to show for it, all I'm asking for is for you to stop and listen and to seek me. And so that's why I titled this tonight, Fight Less and Surrender More. Because I believe that in every situation, every circumstance of our life, if we learn to fight less for ourselves and surrender more to God, then God will continue to win the victories in our life. And God will continue to come up over and over again as the victor over every situation, over every circumstance in our life. And that's how we can live our life going from the beginning to the end and constantly, consistently walking with God. Not walking away from him, not getting frustrated and throwing up our hands, not getting burnt out and exhausted to where we feel like we have nothing more to give, but just learning a life of surrender. Learning a life of just releasing our plans daily to God. See, I've thought through just a few things that we do to kind of bring this back to us today, things that we do consistently, or at least I'll just admit it, I do these things consistently to just kind of take that fighting back into my own hands and to take that away from God. And one of the major things that I do is that I tend to create my own path. You know, as simple as it is for us to stop and to pray and ask God for his direction and his leading, somehow I end up going, well, this is what I think is right. So I'm just going to keep going this direction. I'm going to keep going this direction. It's like this one time, my parents live in Ohio. That's where I grew up, and they're still there. And so I make trips driving back and forth from Ohio all the time. And my sister lived here up until just a few months ago. And so her and I would drive back and forth to Ohio all the time. And we know the route there. No need for directions. We both have it down to a T. It's pretty simple. But there's this one tricky part, only if you're not paying attention and chatting, which, well, happens a couple times to me. But one time, I was driving with my sister, and it's right outside of St. Louis. Some of you may be familiar with this area. If you're taking 70 West out of St. Louis into Illinois, there's a part where it veers off, and then it's like 57 or 59 that continues on straight. Some of you are with me. If not, here's the story. So we're driving, we're chatting. Who knows what I was really doing, but I was driving, I was staying on the road, all good. But I just keep going, and I'm just cruising. Probably at this point, I'm like 45 minutes out of St. Louis, which means I'm about 30 minutes from the place that I was supposed to turn off the road. And I see this town that comes up that I've just never heard of before. And I'm like, well, that's odd, because I drive this all the time. I know where I'm headed. And I was like, Christy, where are we? And she's like, well, you didn't really get on 70 about a half an hour ago. And I just turn and look at her, and I'm like, why didn't you say anything? And she goes, you looked like you knew what you were doing. I don't understand. I didn't know who to be mad at, really. Me or her or just both of us. But I seriously thought, are you kidding me? You let me drive a half an hour. I thought you were trying some other way. I don't really know. You have to really know my sister to understand how crazy this is. But I thought, you know what? A lot of times that's probably exactly God's stance with us. If we choose to put ourselves back in the driver's seat and kick him back over to the passenger seat. And we look pretty confident, like we know where we're headed and we're beelining straight for it and we're not stopping, we're not hesitating, we're not asking for directions. Then when is God supposed to tell us? What opportunities do you create in your life for God to speak into your life until you learn to stop and to listen, until you learn to surrender to him? And so I think just daily we need to begin to make these choices where we're stopping and surrendering, even if it's the simple questions, even if it's the part of your day that you think that you have completely figured out, even if it's that meeting that you need to go to, maybe it's a relationship with a child, maybe it's with a spouse, a friend. We need to be stopping and asking God for direction and listening to him. And then the other thing, kind of the other part of the story that we haven't gotten to about the battle of Ai, is that when they came back from the battle, Joshua just fell on his face before God. He was seeking him, God, why has this happened to us? God, explain to me what I'm missing. And then God revealed to him that there was sin in their camp at that time. See, I'm sure that God would have told him that had he stopped before he sent off the people to battle. Hey, Joshua, you're not going to win this time. You have sin in your camp. You need to get that fixed first. But Joshua was so ready. He knew they were going to win. So he just sent them off. And then they were defeated. And that's when he was ready to listen. And God spoke to him very clearly, pointed out the exact person that had the sin, told Joshua exactly how to deal with it, how to get it out of their camp. And then after that, they went back to Ai. And then the victory was theirs. But they had to stop and listen first. And then they had to follow God's direction and God's leading. And when I think about the sin that was hidden in the camp, it was Achan, and he had hidden some of the stuff that he had taken. And so when I think about that, kind of the hiding of the sin, I mean, we can point fingers at Achan, we can point fingers at ourselves, but truly it's human nature. All the way back to Adam, what was the thing that Adam said to God? When God called him out of the garden after the very first sin, Adam says to God, I heard your voice, and I was naked, so I hid. And when we have sin in our lives, I think that it not only stops us from God's victories and from God's leading, but what we choose to do with it is we choose to hide it sometimes. See, when I was young, I used to think I was an artist. Now I know I'm not. But I would take these crayons and I would draw all over our walls. How many of you have children that did this? Let me know. I'm not the only one. Thank you. All right, good. I feel better. I would just draw all over my walls. I was a little bit smarter than my sister because my sister would sign her name to it. Yeah. I don't know what she's thinking. Oh, man, it'd be great if she was here. She probably would hate me today. But I would draw, and then I would recognize, oh, no, I was not supposed to do this. I probably knew the whole time. But by the end of it, I was like, oh, I'm really going to be in trouble. So, you know, as a kid, you, like, try to erase it with an eraser, or you try to grab this washcloth and wash it, and, like, nothing's working. It's just smearing and getting even bigger. Then it's not even a pretty picture. It's just this smear on the wall. And so then what do as a kid? You cover it up, right? You got to find something, a poster in your room, whatever you might have. Maybe it's like sliding the couch over a couple feet. I don't know what it is, but you try to cover it up. It's human nature in us. We know we did something wrong, and so you just frantically try to cover it up. But when we continue to do that in our lives, and we continue to do that to God, we try to hide our sin, and we try to cover it up, then what is God supposed to do? He has this promised land, he has this victory for us, but yet we're over here, and we're hiding ourselves from him. We're not allowing him to come in and to clean us up. We're not allowing him to release us and to give us freedom. See, what happened to the Israelites once they did that, once they cleared out the camp, once they were given freedom, then they went back and they defeated them and they took the victory once again. And once again, it was that easy. God was in control. They were surrendered to God. And so for us, again, we need to stop and recognize what we have in our lives that we're hiding from God. I think for us, again, we have to remember what it means to have a Lord in our life with a capital R. Somebody who can forgive us of our sins. Someone who is willing to redeem us and to restore the plans and the passion that he has in our lives. Somebody that is not, see, I like to say it like this. If God is the I am, then I am not. Yet we try to be the I am all the time. We try to take care of our own messes when what we really have to do is go back to God and surrender them to him. And so again, just in both areas of our life, whether it be just looking for that leading and that direction of Christ, or whether it be you feel like you've come off the path too far, you have sins that you've hidden in your life, you have things that you regret, things that you don't know how to deal with, yet you've been trying to deal with them on your own. Either way, the best option in your life is to come back to God and surrender to him. To just lay it down before him. To remember that you have a Lord that is your Savior, that is your provider, and that is the King of Kings. A Lord that longs to give you the victories in your life. That longs to take care of the little things that feel like huge battles to us. In that he still has his promised land for you. And some of you, those feel like faraway places. But if you're willing yet again to just come and surrender at God's feet, no matter what place you are in life, whether you're 19, 25, 52, wherever you are in life, again, this is God's reminder for us to just continue surrendering our life and trusting him more than we trust ourselves. And so if you'll stand with me tonight as we close, I want to just pray with you, and I want to give you the opportunity as well to come and to practice exactly what we just talked about. And I just want to remind you even now that it may be about small things in your life during this season. Some of you may have huge things. I'm not negating that. But right now, just speaking to the people that maybe just have small things in their life. I truly believe that if we, as we continue to prove ourselves faithful in the small things, God brings greater things in our life. If we continue to surrender ourselves, even in the what seems like easier seasons and what seems like simpler things, God will continue to develop and grow things in your life. And so just be reminded of that, to continue to prove yourself faithful. And so let me pray for you. And then, like I said, I want to just leave these altars open for those of you that would like to come now and just kneel before the Lord and surrender to him once again. So Lord, we come to you, and God, we love you so much. We are so grateful, Lord, that you are the I am, and Lord, that we are not. Because truly, Lord, we need you in our lives. We need your forgiveness, and we need your grace, and we need your mercy, and we need your strength. And so, Lord, I pray for every person in this room that may have great needs, that may have small needs, that may have circumstances and situations in their life that they're up against right now, God, that you would again prove to be the Lord of Lords, that you would again prove to be the provider and the healer in our lives. And, Lord, we recognize that what we need to do is to just surrender before you. Lord, surrender to your power and to let you lead. God, to put you back in the driver's seat. And so tonight, I pray that as we just come before you tonight, that you would take hold in our lives again and that you would be given your rightful place as the leader and the director of our lives. And then, Lord, I pray that you would bless every person as they're willing to do that tonight. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you for being here tonight. I do want to leave time for the altars to be open so you can come forward if you'd like to. And if not, if you're finished, then you can kind of talk more outside these doors. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening.